The focus of this episode of the Michigan District's Thought Leader Podcast is the development of a ministry website. Those who are looking for a new church home often turn to the internet to locate potential congregations, research the ministry, and plan their first visit. In anticipation of guests seeking your ministry, it is critical to have a well-planned, functional website. The Reverend Dr. Todd Jones will share his insights that can be used to develop a strategic framework for your ministry's web presence.
Hi, I'm Todd Jones, and I'm with the Michigan District, where I develop continuing education materials. Today's podcast is the first in a long series of podcasts that I and the Communications Department of the Michigan District will be putting together to assist churches and schools with their digital footprint. Did you know that nationally, 87% of first-time visitors choose the church they visit based on the church's website? That means that if your website is outdated, non-functioning, or just non-existent, you may be missing a significant opportunity to connect your ministry to potential guests. While future podcasts will talk about the nuts and bolts of getting online with a functional and focused website and a social media strategy, this podcast will set the stage by challenging you to consider five decisions that need to be addressed before you start writing the code or uploading the files for your new ministry site. Decision number one, who is the audience? While we would love to be all things to all people, the reality is we cannot. Different groups of people often present design and content decisions that are mutually exclusive. For example, older people prefer to read text blocks, which provide them with information upon which they can act. Younger people have little patience for long text blocks. They tend to make decisions based on an emotional connection with the story of the site rather than specific content of the site. A very text-based site that is attractive to older generations will not get a second look by younger generations. In a similar way, the Spartan look of a modern website will be confusing and difficult to navigate for most people in the older generation. One blessing of today's modern website systems is that you can address wider audiences by breaking the site down into smaller, more specialized sites. If your site is designed to connect with both visitor and member, it is best to consider it as two different sites rather than trying to mingle the needs of two audiences into one site. While it sounds complicated, it's not that difficult. One way to accomplish the division is to have the main site default to the needs of the guest. Include in the top menu an option to go to the member site. You should have the main page geared for guests because they're the least invested in learning more about your ministry. You want to require the fewest number of clicks as possible from those who are not members of your church. Unfortunately, most churches switch this around and have the default landing filled with information for the member and a link labeled something like "I'm new" or "just visiting." Another way to accomplish the division of the two target audiences is to use a subdomain. If the main site with information for guests is www.grace.com, you could have the member site be members.grace.com. In fact, I strongly encourage that a church consider its site at a minimum as two sites, one targeting guests and the other targeting members. Many people find it helpful to develop a type of profile that describes the typical user of their site. For example, the guest user of our site will be a family with school-age children. They've recently moved to town to start a new job. They have a church background, but aren't necessarily focused on Lutheran churches only. A similar profile can be developed that describes the life stage and demographics of the typical member of your congregation. Decision number two, what do they want? I believe this is the most critical stage in the development of the website. Too many sites are assembled based on the materials on hand. The mentality seems to be, if it can be put on the web, it should be put on the web. Unfortunately, clutter is the curse of a website. The last thing people have the patience to do is wade through unwanted material to find what they need. To address this decision, take the profiles from above and brainstorm questions that might drive guests and members to your site. As you consider guests, consider that there are three big areas or questions that guests have. What is the time of the service? Where is the church found? And what does the pastor's sermon sound like? So you should have the time of the service, the location of the service, and a sample sermon on the front page. Don't make them click through different kinds of menus to find them. Of secondary importance are questions such as, are there people at this church who look like me? Where do I park? What will the services look like? Do they provide childcare? Who's the pastor? What is he like? What are some upcoming events? And finally, at the bottom of the list is, what does the church believe and what are the ministry features? Now, for members, questions that might drive them to your website include questions such as, what are the times for special services and events? How might I get involved? What, when, and where is the next youth event? What are additional learning opportunities? What are upcoming events? When do I serve next? How do I make an appointment to meet the pastor or other staff members? Where do I find last week's bulletin or newsletter? Where do we find a copy of the budget, bylaws, or constitution? Who are the ministry team leaders? When and where are the small groups? And how do we register for Sunday school? Now, once you have a good list of questions, you need to narrow it down and prioritize the questions. You want the most critical information to be prominent. The less important information can be added over time as the site develops. Decision number 3. What response do you want from the visitor? The StoryBrand Communications Framework refers to this as a call to action. The idea is simple. If you do not have a desired call to action from the viewer, you will likely not get a response. People will view the site, but they won't engage the site. Engagement is important because those who engage the site are more likely to actually visit the church or sign up for events. Examples of calls to action include completing a web form, signing up for a newsletter, downloading content, or posting a comment. While not every page needs to have a unique call to action, your site should include several opportunities for the visitor to engage the content. Decision number 4. What content will be presented? This decision naturally flows from the questions raised in step 2. The point of this decision is to actually assemble the files for the site. Gather the photos, the videos, the text documents, and PDFs. Get them together so that you have the material and you can begin the process of figuring out how we're going to put it up on the website. Because that's decision number 5. How will the content be presented? Good, compelling sites have a design philosophy that governs the overall function of the site. Modern day websites are generally driven by content management systems, or CMSs. And the content management systems rely upon templates. And the templates provide a consistent look and functionality across the site. And the great news about all that is, it means it's much easier to have a cohesive, functional website. You don't have to do a lot of coding. That doesn't mean that there are no design decisions that need to be made. In fact, you still need to think through some pretty critical ones. First, content presentation. Will content be presented as text, video clips, or PDFs? Certainly, you'll always have some content that requires the use of video, text, graphs, or downloadable PDFs. However, a design decision needs to be made as to the delivery style for your site. Navigation. Some sites use icons for navigation. While these sites tend to be visually attractive, they can be challenging to navigate, especially for those who are visually impaired. Some sites use a top menu bar that remains constant through the site. Some use a sidebar menu that remains constant through the site. Others will do a combination, a constant top bar that triggers a contextually relevant sidebar menu. There's no right or wrong on this design decision. Just be consistent. Documents. Some ministries will have downloadable documents that are attached to individual articles. Others will have a downloads section, keeping all documents in one place. Icons. If you choose to use icons with your content, keep the style and color consistent. I suggest that you search online for professionally developed color palettes. We'll be examining specific ways of pulling the color data or coding information from a color palette for use in your website. We'll be doing that in a future podcast. 2 final points to consider before our next session. First, most people will be viewing your site from their phone, so make sure that your site is optimized for mobile viewing. Nothing's worse than not being able to see the content because the site has not been optimized. Second, remember to create space around text content so that the site can be navigated by those with limited visual capacity. Yellow text on lime green background might seem cutting edge, but it's annoying to many and impossible to read for others. Technologies which allow visually impaired people to navigate the web struggle when text is placed over or right against images. In general, dark text over a white background is optimal for viewing by the widest possible audience. In our next session, we will talk about getting online. You won't want to miss as we show you how easy it is to develop a decent web page and to connect with guests. I'm Todd Jones with the Michigan District. Thank you for joining me on this podcast.